Well, I think we'll go ahead and start, even though it looks like half the church isn't here. But Heidi's here, so it's good.
All right, we can start.
Let's go ahead and stand.
Sing a song of celebration, lift up a shout of praise, for the bridegroom will come, glorious one. And oh, we will look on his face, we'll go to a much better place. Dance with all your minds, lift up your hands and clap for joy, for the time's drawing near. He will appear, and know we will stand by his side. A strong, pure, spotless bride. And we will dance on the streets that are golden. The glorious bride and the great Son of Man. From every tongue and tribe and nation will join in the song of the Lamb.
Start at the top again.
Sing a song of celebration, lift up a shout of praise, for the bridegroom will come, glorious one. And know we will look on you. To a much better day. And dance with all your might. Lift up your hands and clap for joy, for the time's drawing near. He will appear, and know we will stand by his side. A strong, pure, spotless bride. We will dance on the streets that are golden. Glorious bride and the great Son of Man. Every tongue and tribe and nation will join in the song of the Lamb. Sing aloud, for the time of rejoicing is near.
Sing aloud, for the time of rejoicing is near.
Risen King, our groom, is soon to appear.
Risen King, our groom, is soon to appear.
Lift up your voice, proclaim the coming.
Lift up your voice, proclaim the coming.
And we will dance on the streets that are golden. The glorious bride and the great Son of Man. From every tongue and tribe and nation will join in the song of the Lamb. We will join in the song of the Lamb.
Give a hallelujah praise. Give an applause to the Lord.
Glory to you,
glory, hallelujah.
You're worthy of all God.
Hallelujah.
poor man say, I am rich in him. And the lost man say, I am found in him. Oh, let the river flow. Let the blind man say, I can see again. Let the lost man say, I am born again. Oh, let the river flow. Oh, let the river flow. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Holy Spirit, God, move in power. Let the poor man say, I am rich in him. Let the lost man say, I am found in him. Oh, let the river flow. Let the blind man say, I can see again. Let the dead man say, I am born again. Oh, let the river flow. Oh, let the river flow. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Holy Spirit, come.
Hosanna, Hosanna, in
power and might. Heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, in the highest.
Praise you, Jesus. Glory. You alone are worthy of praise and glory and honor. Glory.
Spirit from me, Lord, lead me to your peace. For my one desire is to be with you. Come and cleanse my life, Lord, and make me pure. Won't you wrap me up in your arms? Take me higher, draw me closer, pull me deeper than I've ever. Take not your spirit from me, Lord, lead me to your peace. For my one desire is to be with you. Come and cleanse my life, Lord, and make me pure. Won't you wrap me up in your arms? And take me higher, and draw me closer, pull me deeper than I've ever been before.
Take me higher,
and take me higher, and draw me closer, and pull me deeper. Hide not your face from me, Lord, turn my spirit free. For my one desire is to be with you. Come and cleanse my life, Lord, and make pure. Won't you wrap me up in your arms and take me higher
and
draw me closer and pull me deeper than I've ever been before and take me higher and draw me closer and pull me deeper than I've ever been this city. You're the king of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God.
Let's go back to the top.
You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God.
There's no one like our God. Sing that again.
There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God.
Greater thing.
For greater things have yet to come. And greater things are still to be done in this city.
No one like our God.
And there is no one like our God.
Sing that again. D.
There is no one like our God.
Sing it some more.
No, there is no one like our God. will give ourselves no rest till your kingdom comes on earth. Inquisition, watchmen on the wall. Now our prayers will flow like tears, for you shared your heart with us. God of heaven, on our knees we fall. Come down in power, reveal your heart again. Come hear our cries, the tears that plead for rain. Knocking on the door of heaven, we're crying for this generation. We're praying for your name to be known in all of the earth. We're watching on the walls to see you. We're looking for a time of breakthrough. Praying for your word to bear fruit in all of the earth,
all of the earth.
We will give ourselves no rest till your kingdom comes on earth. We positioned watchmen. Prayers will flow like tears, for you've shared your heart with us. God of heaven, on our knees we fall. Come down in power, reveal your heart again. Come hear our cry, tears that leave for rain. We're knocking on the door of heaven. We're crying for this generation. We're praying for your name to be known in all of the earth. We're watching on the walls to see you. We're looking for a time of breakthrough. We're praying for your word to bear fruit in all of the earth,
all of the earth.
Come down in power, reveal your heart again. Come hear our cry, rise, mountains will be moved as our praise rises up to you. I will pray. I will pray. Let your kingdom come. Pray your will be done. Nations will see your face on the Lord's day.
Make a way.
Make a way for the love of God. Let the world know He is here. Valleys rise, mountains will be moved as our praise rises up to You.
I will pray.
I will pray. I will pray.
Let your kingdom come.
Let your kingdom come. Pray your will be done. Nations will see your face.
Join with the angels as they do say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come."
Yes.
And the river has flown here, and it has cleansed here. And Hosanna, the son of David, has rode in triumphantly here today.
Praise you, Jesus.
The Lord's day is truly coming. You will
praise
be made
you,
ready.
Lord Jesus.
You will be my pure and spotless bride, and you will be strong.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you. We were talking about this last night, just that I mentioned all this, not to remind of good things to chew on as we're, but just the temptation because of things not going as far to decrease our giving. I think every one of us, you know, just go, gosh, I just don't have as much. And Karen and I were talking a little bit, and we just thought, you know, we're not only going to commit ourselves to not only to yield to the decrease in giving temptation, but are choosing to increase our giving and realize it not as a gimmick or as something to this, well, let's just, you know, try this, but as a statement to say, we're not going to let the economy or even the checkbook sometimes decide that it be the basis for our giving. And so, and just as you can't, don't you let me or anyone else, you let the Holy Spirit guide you, but make sure it's God that is the force behind leading and prompting and not allowing circumstances and or fear to be the basis. Thomas, did you want to add? Or are we? To say the least. Exactly. And so the question is, sometimes we'll make statements, and they're true statements, but have we applied them to our lives? Is it really something where we've engaged and said, you know what, God, you really are going to be my source, and I'm really going to listen to you, to your voice. Lord, as we pause, we encourage ourselves with the truth, but we pause to give you thanks. And more than anything, not just for meeting our needs, but just for your faithfulness and for the fact that we can rest, even in there are times every one of us we just think, gosh, how are we gonna make this work? And but we can, in the midst of even financial pressure and stress, we can rest when we remember that we're not serving a God. Lord, we're not bound by the economy of this world. We're not bound by fear. We're reminded that you are a God that that always provides and always looks out and always takes care of. And so we give you thanks and we give you praise in your name, Jesus. Amen. Oh. So before we dismiss children, too, a couple of announcements. Isn't there something special going on today after the service? Food? Did anybody say food? any special announcements, Julie, regarding lunch today? Just. What if I forgot that it was a potluck today and I forgot to bring?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. Good. There's lots of food. Yeah, Joe lives for this. This is good timing for Joe. He was having potluck every day, you know. Go ahead, Brenda. Yes. So,
August 23rd, Saturday.
So both bringing school supplies, we can start filling up the barrel or whatever we're going to have out there, and what we're going to do on.
And hygiene drive too. So
yep. School supplies and hygiene supplies. Good. And that day will be upon us sooner than we want it to be, because it marks the end of summer. But. I heard that somewhere. Julie, you want to talk about camp out at all? Or? There's a river. There might be electricity in one of the restrooms. We're not sure. Oh, it'll be acoustic. Yes, unless you have a little generator or something. And good. Yeah, like a sore back or something. Just kidding. I've got a... Yeah, it should be a lot of fun, a lot of... Just an opportunity for fellowship. And so, yeah, we've got a air mattress that's about that thick. And
we won't be ostracized if you bring like a tent trailer or something, will we?
No, you might be inundated. No, you should bring a tent trailer. You can bring a camper. You can bring an RV of any kind. So,
I was going to take Brian's trailer.
Were you?
Here.
And Barbara. Can't believe I hadn't thought about it. There we go. There we go. Two. We got two already, just like that. So, and I suspect there'll be more. So, insight. This is Shinaki. Good stuff. All right. Are we all on the same page here?
Yeah.
Potluck. Day of Blessing. Youth group tonight at 6. Right here? Yeah. All right. All right, kids, you can be dismissed downstairs. Well, I want to begin our time in the Word this morning by reading a story out of, I've actually read this before, but years and years ago. Some of you will may perhaps find it familiar anyhow, but I want to, it's a great way to introduce what we want to talk about this morning. This is a Charles Osgood, probably from one of the Charles Osgood files that was broadcast over the radio probably 20 years ago. A woman in West Palm Beach, Florida, died alone at the age of 71. The coroner's report was tragic. Cause of death, malnutrition. The dear old lady wasted away to 50 pounds. Investigators who found her said the place where she lived was a veritable pig pen, the biggest mess you could imagine. One seasoned inspector declared he'd never seen a residence in greater disarray. The woman had begged food at her neighbor's back doors and gotten what clothes she had from the Salvation Army. From all outward appearances, she was a penniless recluse, a pitiful and forgotten widow. But such was not the case. Amid the jumble of her unclean, disheveled belongings, two keys were found. And it led the officials to safe deposit boxes at two different local banks. What they found was absolutely unbelievable. The first contained over 700 AT&T stock certificates, plus hundreds of other valuable certificates, bonds, and solid financial securities, not to mention a stack of cash amounting to nearly $200,000. The second box had no certificates, only more currency, lots of it, like $600,000. And adding the net worth of the boxes they found the woman had in her possession, way over $1 million. Charles Osgood goes on to report, CBS Radio announced that the estate would probably fall into the hands of a distant niece and nephew, neither of whom dreamed she had a thin dime to her name. She was, however, a millionaire who died a stark victim of starvation in a humble hovel many miles away. So here's my question to each of us this morning. Is that woman, spiritually speaking now, is that woman you? Is that woman us as a church? What? And I'm not talking about so much living or existing without, I should say it this way. I'm not so much talking about dollars and cents. We're not talking about you know, stocks and cash. You know, we're talking about living or existing without an awareness of the vast spiritual resources that we have at our disposal. Lord, as we look to your word this morning, again we pray, open our eyes. Again we pray for your spirit to reveal the not certainly the truth in your word, but Lord, help us to see the depths of what not so much hidden in the sense that it's out of our sight, but hidden in the way that we haven't seen it, perhaps because we haven't been looking in the right places. Or for whatever reason, God, we pray that you would bring fresh revelation to our hearts this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm asking, I'll be asking that question not so much over and over, but wanting you to think about that this morning. You know, is that woman, wanting that I looked, in fact, it took me about an hour to recall. Now, where is that story? Where did I remember reading that? And so I had to do a little digging, a little trying to recall, because that picture had been tucked away. But that's what I'm hoping is that we would ask ourselves that question: Is that woman me? You know, am I unaware, living with much less, you know, without tapping into the resources that are available? The Bible says that we are, to use a common term, that we're loaded. Again, this is not talking about cash and possessions. We're talking about, spiritually speaking, we're loaded with blessings. We're loaded with spiritual affluence. And just if we were to say, well, give me an example of scripture, I think each one of us could think of a place or two or 10 places where the scripture talks about that. One of the first that jumps to my mind is Psalm 103. You know, bless the Lord all my soul and all that's within me. Bless his name because, you know, he has blessed me and with us with I see Joe nodding his head, so fill in the blanks there. What's
forgiveness?
He's healed us. He's restored us. And there's, you know, half a dozen more things that just in that one chapter alone just talk about the...
Last week about he does not
He doesn't... Yeah. It's... Yeah. Yeah, Psalm 103. Just, again, one of many places. Let me read out of Ephesians, just one verse out of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be, this is the God's Word translation, praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Christ, God has blessed a few of us with every... through Christ, God has blessed us all, you could write in there, because that's what it's... God has blessed us all with every spiritual blessing that heaven has to offer.
Amen.
I underlined that. Every spiritual blessing that heaven has to offer. You know, I read that and I read it as though I hadn't seen it before. And I realized that in my life, it would be too accurate to say that I am too much like the lady I read about than I would care to admit. So often I am caught only by what I can see with my physical eye or eyes. I do have two of them. but they're both deceiving me. I didn't hear that, Beth, but I saw you cover your mouth. Rather than being led and focused on what is not as easily seen with my physical eyes or with my spiritual eyes. Every spiritual blessing that heaven has to offer, what does that mean? What do you think that includes? Yeah, I'm absolutely. I think we. In fact, I'll read a couple of verses a little bit later. But yeah, they're just the list would go on and on. I know. What I do believe is that it doesn't mean that that in order to partake we have to wait until we die. That's not what it's talking about. You know, like, well, in heaven, once you get to heaven, that's not what it's talking about. It's in heaven. In fact, let me read the next verse, because out of verse 13, the indication is that the heaven's doors are wide open today to us. It's not just that we have to wait until, you know, in the sweet by and by, and then wow, yes. But today, heaven's doors. If we believe in Jesus, the word says that God sealed us with His Holy Spirit. Let me read this verse 13 out of the same chapter of Ephesians 1. You have heard and believed the message of truth, the good news that He, Jesus, has saved you. In Him you were sealed with the Holy Spirit whom He promised. The idea is because our lives bear the mark, bear the seal of the Holy Spirit, it's like you don't have to punch in a certain code. You don't have to do the, I mean, it's like you have unlimited access to all that heaven has to offer. Remember it's too much, you know. And talk about treating us as we deserve. You know, we deserve judgment. We deserve the consequences of, and certainly it's not that we're immune from the consequences of sin, but the punishment, the debt of sin. It's been paid in its entirety for us. And so we have not only forgiveness, but then everything else heaven has to offer beyond that. Remember the old, I think it was American Express, membership has its privileges. You know, the only thing is here, I mean, and that's pretty, well, that's, you know, and if you're a member of a certain club, you know, if you're a member of the country club, golf anytime you want. I mean, they're just, the list would go on and on, the different kinds of clubs or organizations or whatnot we can be a part of. We're not talking membership here. We're talking joint heirs. We're not members. We're joint heirs. Let me read the next verse, verse 14. The signet, I'm reading now the Message translation here, the signet or sign or ring or in a sense, engagement ring. It's like it's the sign. The sign from God is the first installment on what's coming. A reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. Now, you notice that it doesn't say, you know, a perfect or a life without hardship or difficulties or without pain even, but it says everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. And that would mean regardless of the economy or regardless of the number of years we have been believers or we've been on good behavior or our success to failure ratio, or the list would go on and on. It's not conditional. It is not conditional. Everything, the Holy Spirit is like, because we bear the seal of the Holy Spirit, it's like that's the indicator. Let me pull out. Now this isn't a ring, but it is a sign or a token, a seal, if you will, that I think probably most of you received something like this, if not exactly like this, in the last month or so. It says, well, it's from the IRS. And it's not one of those that you dread and say, oh no. This is one that says, understanding your economic stimulus payment. Please keep a copy of this notice for your records. And it goes on to talk about that this isn't a check, this isn't real money, but it's a sign, it's a pledge. It's a, I'll use the NIV, if I can find my notes here. It's a sign or a note guaranteeing our inheritance. Well, that might be a stretch. But guaranteeing that there is something to follow. And so, you know, of sorts. And so what do we do? We check the mail. Or we check, if we're online banking, we check our account. Is it there yet? You know, we're looking for it. And that's not the only reason we check our account. We check it to see if it's overdrawn or if it's getting close or those kinds of things. But how many times have you ever, well, this may not happen too often, but you check and you find out that there's significantly more than you thought. That ever happened to anybody? Oh, good. Yeah, on occasion. On occasion.
The minute when I start tithing, it happens. I've never had I would run out of money by the time of month, but it has never happened.
Yeah.
Never happened.
Yeah.
Some of us have just subtracted our deposits.
We've done goofy things. Yeah, it's nothing worse than finding out that they made a mistake and then they want to correct it, you know. They have a way, but. So. I guess that's the thing that I'm suggesting. Sometimes I don't think we are looking and checking and asking and seeking, I guess is probably as good a word as any. The difference, you know, trying to get away from too much of a focus on the illustration, the difference is the Holy Spirit is not a future promise. It's not like, you know, keep watching just any day now, but it's a present reality. It's not, the Holy Spirit is a present reality. It's not saying, Chris, you know, just hang on there. I've got some stuff in store, but you're not. And certainly part of that, you know, in terms of God leading and providing for our lives, but we're talking about access to all that heaven has to offer right now. Right now. And often we're living as though it's like wishful thinking, or it's like, gosh, I hope, or in some ways, our heads completely buried, oblivious, not even aware of even the possibility. God, help us. So here's the question. Are you tapping into the resources heaven has to offer, or are you content to live in the shallows? I've been using, in fact, these next few weeks of summer, we're going to look further in exploring what I'm calling about exploring the depths. I've been reading this book by Ted Roberts and Pam Vredebelt called Going Deeper. And in here, there's an article that is piercing that I want to read. It's entitled Living in the Shallows. The dominant worldview of our Western society is rationalism. The dominant worldview of our Western society is rationalism. Rationalism relies on natural human reason for the establishment of truth. It proposes that we live in a box consisting of time, space, energy, and mass. Man relates to this world with his five senses, his ability to taste, touch, smell, see, and hear. In this worldview, logic and analytical reasoning are regarded as superior to intuitive perceiving and sensing. Ideas based on information gleaned outside of our five senses or scientific investigation is viewed by rationalism as questionable and inferior. Rationalism has influenced and conditioned many of us in the ways that have not promoted spiritual growth. And I would add, in many ways, inhibited, prevented spiritual growth. So it's not only not promoted spiritual growth or cultivated an appetite for experiential encounters with the living God. Many of us have become rational Christians. Oh God, help me not to be, not just labeled, help it not to be true that I am a rational Christian, skilled in human reasoning, rather than spiritual Christians who confidently function in the spirit realm. Rational Christians versus spiritual Christians who confidently function in the spirit realm. We allow the spirit of the world to govern our lives more than the spirit of God. We live in the shallows of the visible rather than actively pursuing God and inviting the spirit to tutor us in the domain of the invisible, and we miss out, never realizing our full spiritual inheritance in Christ. The Spirit of God wants to lead us out of the shallows, last line, the Spirit of God wants to lead us out of the shallows into the deep things of God. Is that a mouthful? Paul says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Has he? Goes on to say, verse 12, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The deep things of God. Gary did an excellent teaching right at the end of the year, I think it was. Wasn't it last Sunday of the year that you did an excellent teaching about the mysteries, the things kept hidden, but things that God wanting to reveal. And just a very challenging and encouraging, eye-opening teaching And I realize I'm just referring to just a portion of that. But I want to ask the question, in fact, and what I really want to do is I'm going to ask the question now, but I'm really wanting us to answer the question over the next few weeks. What are the deep things? What is the scripture talking about when it says the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God? You know, what do we think are the deep things of God? Is that for the real super spiritual, holy, qualified? You know, what do you think the deep things? What's that?
The things that affect us deep inside to our core.
Yeah. Thomas?
A really godly character and being really strong in the Lord. And like you become mature and grown up. Mm-hmm. And then you can be used by God in a more just way to like affect the world around you.
I'm always reminded of the scripture where Jesus is saying the same spirit that's in him will be in us,
uh-huh.
and that we will do even greater things
yeah.
than he. So all the things that he did.
Yeah. Gary.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to get our new body like that when Christ comes back.
Yeah.
That's what 1 Thessalonians 4 says.
Uh-huh. You know, it's yeah, that's Lord, come quickly. So it's all of these things that and more, you know, things that we're not aware of. Ted in his book talks about Jacques Cousteau, and I don't think any of us would not recognize the name of a long time deep sea pioneer, I guess you would call him, explorer. And what I hadn't realized until I was just reading this, that in the 30s, when he first started, and you could just see without reading his biography, but no doubt for some time he had a real interest in, gosh, what's down there? What's under the in the depths of the ocean? And he nearly, his desire to go deep nearly cost him his life back in the 30s when he first went down. He was down only 45 feet and began to experience, I don't know what went wrong or what happened, but if it wasn't for the alert crew that he had that hoisted him up, because he went unconscious, they pulled him up, and of course his body experienced the excruciating pain and took a while to recover, but then it was some 10 or more years later that he developed the aqua lung and was not only able to talk about all the intricacies of what happened, but he was able to explore and go places, and his inventions and discoveries, you know, allowed there to be that pursuit. And I was thinking about just what it's like to go deep like that, and what came to mind was snorkeling, which is in the shallows, right? And I remember hearing, before Karen and I were able to go to Hawaii a few years back, that, boy, snorkeling is just, it's the coolest thing. It's just incredible. And the way they would describe it, I remember thinking, wow, that just sounds really cool. That sounds really great. And so when we went to Hanama Bay there, just south of Diamond Head, and we're, you know, had the opportunity. And I remember the first time putting on the gear and sticking my head under the water, and it was like, boom! You know, what you couldn't see when you looked above the bay, if you've ever seen Hanama Bay, of course, just picture Hawaii, it's just spectacular. Just the setting would have been enough. I could have been content with just being there and looking at it. But you stick your head under the water, and those of you that have snorkeled know that all of a sudden it's like literally a whole new world. And the beauty and the creativity and you can just get lost and sunburned. But it's what God has created, but it's just below the surface. You know, how much more? You know, I've never really scuba dived. Some of you have done that and realized that there is just even far, 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 far more than we could ever imagine. And I wonder if we can't hear the voice of the Lord this morning saying, like what he said to Simon, who later became Peter, put out into the deep. Peter says, but Lord, we fished all night. We're tired. Besides that, it's the middle of the day. You don't fish in the day. And besides that, the fish aren't down in the deep. They're kind of like, stick to teaching, Lord. We'll do the fishing. It happens once in a while. You just don't catch. We'll go out again tomorrow night. But that's not where the scripture ended. In fact, it's not. It probably was Peter's thinking. I'm actually putting words into Peter's mouth here. Probably not, but he says, but because you say so, I'll let my nets down the deep. And of course, he does. And of course, there were fish there. But I think that it's more than Jesus wasn't teaching just about fishing. He wasn't trying to give a lesson on fishing. He's trying to give a lesson on obedience. And I think that more than anything, that we would be a people that would say, now, if your word says it, that there are some deep things, if that we have at our disposal all that heaven has to offer, maybe there's more than meets the eye. You know, maybe there is something that God's not playing, trying to keep hidden and hoping we never discover. But it's true that there are things that God has hidden, hoping that we will seek and that we will find. And that's the kind of God that we have, is that he wants to be sought after. He wants us to press in. He wants us to put into the deep. He wants us to get out of the boat and step into the water by faith and trust and learn to be able to see. The scripture says invisible, but I like that it's more of, it's not as easily seen. And it's being not oblivious, not leaps of faith, not doing stuff that is reckless is a good word, but one that is sensitive and following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Kent?
And
we hold our breath.
We hold our breath and hope we can get back to the shadows, yeah. Right? And in fact, we can breathe. The Spirit of God is there. We can, and I had the trust that when I sucked on that thing, I was going to get a lung full of water. I was going to get air.
Yeah.
And I was trusting in something of God designed, Jacques Cousteau, as a matter of fact.
Right.
But how much more can we trust in God?
Yes. Good word. I mean, and even snorkeling, it's the same thing. You know, and of course, some of us, you go a little too deep and in that regard. But it's a good picture. And so God, I just sense God wanting to take us, not just like I did my, I remember when we, Caleb and Kim are here, I probably wouldn't tell you this, but one time friends of ours told him, just put life jackets on them and toss them in the water. That was not, that's, don't do that. That was, yeah, that's not a good thing. They're perfectly safe. They didn't know it. And it scared them to death. And it was a foolish thing that as parents that we did. And God doesn't do that. He doesn't, you know, put us, you know, life, you know, and just throws us in. But he leads us if we will let him, and he'll take us a step at a time, go down 15 feet, take a breath, come back up, but let God lead. So here's my declaration. I don't want to live in the shallows. I don't want to miss out I want the Holy Spirit, I like that word, tutor. I want the Holy Spirit to tutor me, to teach me how to breathe underwater, to teach me how to go into the depths, and to show me, let Him reveal a step at a time. I want to experience new depths in the Holy Spirit. And I want, and I just, it's just kind of like a journey that I want to take us on over the next few weeks. Holy Spirit enabling, that is. Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, take us and lead us and nudge us and convict us, Lord. We don't want to be labeled malnourished, or whether it's labeled, we just don't want it to be accurate. We don't want to be a church that's malnourished. We don't want to be a people that are existing and content to stay in the shallows. Lord, we want to be a people who are stepping out, getting out of the boat, or putting our nets down into the deep, and allowing you, Lord, to tutor us, to lead us, to reveal to us things that have been hidden, but you are waiting to reveal, disclose to your saints. God, thank you for the benefits, the blessings, the benefits of heaven. Lord, we have a sneaking suspicion. Lord, and your word gives very clear description. And so, Lord, we have more than a sneaking suspicion. Lord, we have clear, accurate details describing. And yet, Lord, we're aware that we really haven't even begun to conceive the depth, the far reaches. So, Lord, by your Spirit, come, by your Spirit, lead. Would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let the river flow.
Let the poor man say, I am rich in him. Let the lost man say, I am found in him. Oh. Let the dead man say, I am born again. Oh, let the river flow. Oh, let the river flow. Let the river flow. Three.